Hello and welcome back. My name is Seth Juarez. We're in Antwerp, Belgium. It's a lovely city, right?
It is.
There's like, you were telling me that they have a lot of good beverages here that I don't drink.
Cold beverages?
Like, he literally told me there's a whole culture here, Seth, that you're just not going to partake in. Because I don't drink alcohol, but you say that beer's here really good.
Well, if you like beer, Belgium is probably the best place in the world, yeah?
That's what I've been told, but I don't know. So, Dominic Baer, tell us who you are, what you do, my friend.
So, I'm a security consultant, doing a lot of open source stuff, and specialized on what is called identity and access control. So, it's all about authentication, authorization, distributed applications, you know, how to connect your mobile stuff to your backend and all these problems around that. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen, we actually had a show with this dude in Heidelberg in his house, and he has an awesome office. I was totally gelling over it. Do you still have that office?
I still have it.
And like, he literally had a little fireplace in it. It was legit awesome. So
it was cold.
Yeah, it was cold at that time. So let's get into identity and access control. Why is it such a big problem? Well, it's always been a problem. Like, here's the thing. Now, and I'm going to be real with you here. Every time I start a new web project, I always need identity and access control. But it feels like it's a hard thing.
Yes. I mean, it starts as being an easy thing to solve, right? But even if you think about how hard it is actually to username password authentication.
Yeah, I mean, do it right.
Yes. I mean, yeah, like, it might look like you just need two text boxes, right, and a login button.
Yeah.
But there are all these attacks around. You know, you need to enforce the password complexity. The passwords must be stored securely. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to lock the user out after 5 invalid attempts. Maybe you want to unlock him again after a certain amount of time, because this becomes a denial of service attack vector, right?
Yeah.
A really simple account controller in an MVC app typically has multiple hundred lines of code.
Yeah, I mean, even the default template, like, when you're like, you click the checkbox and you're like, oh, I want identity, and then it's like, what kind, and then you pick, and then it's like the account controller is literally a couple hundred lines of code, right?
Yes, and then, you know, like, registering the user. Yeah, you want to.
Where do you store it? I mean.
Well, yeah. Sure, but I mean, just getting the procedure right, you know, registering a user, sending him a confirmation email, like, you know, this email must have a link going back, this link must have a unique ID that maps back to the registration process, and he should type in the password again, right, because what happens if he has a typo in his email address and now somebody else gets the registration link, yeah? And, it's hard.
Think of that.
It's hard, and that's why we started many years ago kind of encapsulating the problem into a reusable component.
And that was what Identity Server became.
Yes.
Because you went in, because you were a security consultant, and you found yourself writing the same code over and over and over and over again. It was like, I'll just write it once.
That's one thing. The other thing was the trend by the time, that was even before the current technology wave, like with WS Security, the SOAP service era, mm-hmm. where basically you had so many moving parts in your system now that you just couldn't do security over and over again. You wanted a shared component.
Right.
Right? You want to have what is often called a security token service, mm-hmm. basically where you can encapsulate all of the login logic and everything into a single component and just all of them share that, right? And which is the enabler for things like single sign-on and all these things, yeah? So. Yeah, so I started working on that actually in 2009. That was the first identity server.
That's like 8 years ago, man.
Yeah.
That's like 40 years in computer years.
Yeah, or in dog years.
Computer years and dog years, about the same, right? And so then Brock Allen came on and started working on it with you too, right?
Brock joined me in the identity server 2 time space. Yeah, so the very first version was like web forms.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And then I did a second one, and I knew Brock. He was a web guy. He knew MVC really well, and I wanted to rewrite it to MVC. So he came on, and he got really interested in what I'm doing, and learned everything. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, we are almost like working on a daily basis now on Identity Server, which is our main, which became a shockingly popular open source project. Yes, sometimes you get emails from, you know, like the big companies saying like, yeah, we are using your stuff, can you help us out? And I'm like, what?
I mean, the thing about it is that, like I said, every time I file new a web thing, I need to have identity and access control. And it feels like it's
well,
not...
Well, if you're writing an application that needs...
That someone wants to use.
A login page.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there's certain websites that... I'm trying to think of a website that I've ever had to write where I didn't need, like, someone to log in. I mean, it's almost all of them.
Yeah.
And so with Identity Server, my understanding is that now you're able to abstract that away, have a security token service, and that be the focal point of identity and access control management.
Exactly.
And then all your other websites and or applications can use that as sort of the go-to. So let me see if I understand the flows, because I know we talk about flows a lot. When I have a website and I go to access something, I have a on the controller action method, I'm going to have, what's that attribute? I forget.
Well, it's called authorize.
Authorize, that's it. Yep. That's right. And then I have like a role in there, for example.
Well, or just authorize means no unauthenticated access.
Got it. And so I could just automatically do that. But then how do I make my website go to this security token service?
And that's the nice thing about it, yeah? It's actually really, really easy these days, because if you're in the ASP.NET world, there's just a thing called the OpenID Connect middleware.
Okay.
And you just plug that into your pipeline. You basically tell it where is the authentication server and some other config stuff, and that's it. It does all the hard lifting of going to Identity Server. It does all the hard lifting of post-processing the response coming back, and just gives you a claims principle, and you're done.
So as let me see if I understand. So the controller action method is they're trying to invoke it. The authorize attribute's on there. The pipeline in the middleware looks at the I principle on the actual session.
So actually what happens is the authorize attribute looks at the is authenticated property on claims principle, and if that's false, or if you have roles configured which and you don't satisfy the role requirements, it calls, which is a new thing in ASP.NET Core, it just calls challenge. So basically, that's a new abstraction they put into ASP.NET Core. So challenge then flows back to the pipeline, and the middleware that is registered for taking care of a challenge
will redirect.
Yes.
And so the response, oh, that's interesting. So now I'm starting to understand. It's like you do a GET request, for example, for something that has authorized attribute. It goes through the middleware pipeline. The challenge is given. And then the response is a redirect to something else.
Yep.
And that would be the security token service.
Yep.
And then that's the thing that manages the login and everything. And as soon as you log in, that will redirect back to the, how does that work?
So the middleware, this OpenID Connect middleware, has a so-called callback path where it wants to receive whatever is coming back from the token service. So basically, when you set up your client application in Identity Server, you configure this callback path.
Oh, I see.
They call it a redirect URI. Yeah. So basically, and then when we are done, we take whatever is configured on this thing and post back the token to this endpoint. Then the middleware takes over, parses the form post. Yeah, looks. Pulls out the identity token, validates it, and then sets up the claims principle.
And that's interesting, right? Because in the because when you're redirecting the security token service, you can also, can you give it additional information in the URI so that you redirect to a very specific spot?
No, that's exactly what you don't do.
Okay.
It will always be a fixed place in your application, which is the callback endpoint of the middleware.
Okay.
And then the middleware will remember the local redirect to do after it's done. Right, so maybe you came by a deep link.
Okay.
Right. So basically what the middleware will do on the way out, it will remember that deep link. Yeah. And when you come back, it will first do all of the validation stuff and then take that link and send you back where you actually want to go to.
And is that because it remembers the session, or how does it remember that?
No, so in OpenID Connect, there's a parameter called state, and that the purpose of this parameter is to round trip data between the client and the server.
Okay.
So basically what they do is they take that local URL you wanted to go to, put it on the state parameter, then sign it, that nobody can change it afterwards, send it to the token server. The token server sends it back to the middleware, and once it's done, it takes that and does the local redirect to the page you actually want to go to.
Oh, I see. So it's like this, it like wraps where you, because I'm thinking of a situation where I actually have a deep link to my admin page into like tab number 7, for example. And then when I go there, it's like, oh, you haven't, your token's been revoked or something. Yeah, and it redirects on there, but you're sending actually the state that you're in packaged up and encrypted, so not even the token service knows about it.
Well, the token service, the spec says it should just echo back whatever is coming in.
Got it.
You can encrypt it. You should sign it because it's input data, right? Coming back to the client application. Typically, the token service doesn't care.
Yeah. So it's just data that it gets.
But if you think that this is confidential, you could encrypt it as well. Yeah.
I see. So it's just this whatever package. It goes back to this token service. Then when it comes back, it says, hey, they have a token, and by the way, this is what they were doing, and it will take me directly to the right place.
Yeah.
So that is perfectly clear to me. The thing that is unclear to me is how do I do that in a mobile application? Because when I'm redirected back, there is no web server, right? That's where I get a little confused.
So it depends a little bit on the platform you're on for the details.
Let's just say Xamarin iOS.
Yes. So on iOS, you have this concept of a custom URL scheme. Basically, when you write your application, you go to the manifest and say, like, you know what, I want to register my application for, let's say, fev.callback.
Got it.
Yeah? And now when you install the application, the installer tells the system, whenever the browser goes to fev:// that belongs to this application.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so basically what you now do is you've configure your redirect URI to be ceph:// something. Uh-huh. And then the last thing the browser will do is it will call this URL. The OS will take over and send you the whole query string and everything back to a method that you have to implement in your Xamarin application.
And so effectively the query string will have the payload of the token in there.
It will have the identity token and it will have a so-called code. So and now the client application needs to validate the token, and then it takes the code and opens a back channel communication to the token service and exchanges the code with the actual access token.
Oh, I see. Because I could create any link that redirects. I'm trying to understand why you need this extra code step.
So what you try to do is you try to limit the exposure of the access token. So there are some attacks on this scenario.
Oh,
yeah, like for example, you know, like basically, strictly speaking, when you are the mobile app and you're invoking Safari, it's an inter-process communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now there's an attackable link
vector,
between
yeah.
the two. Yeah. So on the callback, what would happen if an attacker could, in theory, intercept the callback, and get the identity token and get the code? And let's say you would put the access token on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
He could now steal the access token from you.
I see. But now instead of you just have a code, then the application can go back and exchange the code for the token.
There's even more to that. Yeah. So there's actually a spec for that. How to secure that link? It's called Pixie. The proof key for code exchange.
I see. That's
what it's called. Yeah. So basically, what you do is on the first leg, you're creating a random number. And you're sending the hash of that random number to the token service, and that the token service associates the hash of that request with the access token and everything. And when you open the back channel, you send the clear text random number, and then the server will hash that random number. And only if the two hashes match, it will give you back the token.
Oh my
so basically,
gosh.
You know, like if you are the attacker and on the way back you would intercept the code, or even could read from the network stream, you would only have seen the hashed random number. Yet, not the clear text one.
Right.
Which only, and that clear text one only knows the client application.
Of course.
Because security is hard.
Like, I just got tired thinking about, because like the number of attack vectors obviously increases with the number of ways that you create applications that access a token service, for example.
I mean, the concern here is definitely that the client application and the browser are two different processes on that machine, and that there is a theoretical, it's actually been a practical attack vector. That's why this spec exists.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, there were people that were actually exploiting that callback on the mobile device and intercepted the data.
And they would get a token that effectively would allow them to behave as if they were that.
And
user.
Even if they would get the code, right, they could now take the code and just do the same call to the backend system and get the access token. But with this Pixie additional thing, you have think of it as a per request secret.
Right. And now are you doing that for each request to the token service, or just once you get the token, you're safe?
Yeah, right. So once you have the token, then you get a refresh token typically, right? And then you would store the refresh token in your keychain, for example.
Right.
And from that point on, you don't need to involve the user anymore, right? Because you can just get a new access token by exchanging the refresh token.
I see. So security is hard. I mean, it made me tired just thinking about this. And now, like, with the proliferation of all these new devices, like I'm thinking of IoT. Like, is there ever a scenario where you would use a token service for an IoT device?
So, I mean, just to finish that, You're right, it's hard. And that's I wrote a library, a client library for that. Mm-hmm. It's called Identity Model OIDC Client. It's a .NET standard library, so it runs on desktop Windows and Xamarin and Linux and macOS and so on. And I've been able actually to wrap that whole flow we just talked about into one line of code.
What's the library again?
It's OIDC Client. It's on our GitHub repo in the identity model organization, and it's basically so. Brock has one for JavaScript. I have written one for native clients.
Which was the next thing I was going to ask you, right? Because like when we talk about like Xamarin iOS applications, I feel like those would be different than if I'm running an Angular 2 application that has authorized attributes over API controller actions.
Yes. So you know, I mean, in theory, in practice, it's not that different than an MVC application. Just that you do the stuff from the JavaScript and not from the server.
Right, right.
I mean, you're doing the same redirect. Yeah, you're watching for the redirect coming back.
I see.
You get the tokens, you validate them,
and the state as well.
Yep.
And the nice thing with state on a JavaScript application is if you have using a good framework with the hash, you know, links, you could deep link back into your actual whatever you're
looking at. Yeah, or what's actually even more common in JavaScript is that you store that deep link before you go to the token service locally, like in session storage. Uh-huh. And when you come back, you just pull it back from session storage and then do the local redirect.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's another option, definitely, yeah.
So security's hard, people, is what I'm finding out here. So we have about probably 5-6 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about Identity Server, how we can get started. I know we did a couple of things. Like I've been to his class, and he told me in his house like how this thing works. And I went the other day to set it up, and something happened, and it didn't work for me. And so, like, this is hard stuff. Like, I'm just not as smart as some other people. Like, he's like literally like, oh, geez.
So, what's actually really, really new is because I think we covered in depth how to get started last time.
Yes, we did.
But what's new since we met is now that we have templates now.
For ASP.NET templates, right?
Yes.
And those are like on the command line templates, well, like .NET new.
No, yes. So the new .NET SDK has this .NET new command.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and they have a new template engine that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And the idea is basically that you do .NET new minus I for install, and mm-hmm. then you point to a name of a NuGet package which contains the templates. And then they get pulled down to your machine, and then you have new templates in your .NET new.
Sure.
And we have one which is like a really bare bones identity server. We have one which just has the UI. So maybe if you just want to emit the UI to an existing identity server you have. Mm-hmm. And one is basically like an all-in-one package with in-memory users and clients and resources and so on. And there will be more. It's still a little bit early days for the template engine, but there will be more. But the really new thing is, and that's what Dan Roth demoed at Build, is now once you have these .NET new packages, you can turn them into templates that show up in File New in Visual Studio.
Really?
So now we have File New experience for Identity Server in the new Visual Studio as well, yeah?
That seems dumbed down enough for me. So I'm actually really excited.
I think the trouble starts once you hit the File New button.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so basically, anybody can do that now.
Sure.
If you are in a company and you want to give your employees a set of starter templates, whatever, I just actually did that for a company that needed identity server starter templates for their department so they can connect to the token service. So basically, we wrote a customized version of identity server, did all the stuff that is hard-coded, you know, like the sure. URLs, like put it in there, turned into a template, and now they can ship it to their developers.
So every time they make a new project, like they literally don't have to worry about the identity access control. They just authorize and everything's good.
Yeah. I mean, you always have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, you have to worry about it.
You make it as easy as possible.
So, for example, in this new project template, they would have the pipeline redirects already to the STS server.
They were especially, this specific customer was especially concerned that they give the developers too much choices, so they lock down a little bit, like, you know, where's the token service already? You know, like they don't have to configure the URLs anymore, and, you know, kind of disable a couple of features they shouldn't use, and, you know, like a starter kit.
Like something for me that I wouldn't screw
right,
up.
Yeah, with one button.
One button. All right, so we have 2 minutes left. Where can people go to learn more?
So we have pretty good documentation now. It's identifier4.readthedocs.io, I think.
Yes, that's it.
Or org.
It's IO, because I go to it a lot. I mean, I'm trying. But it's important to remember that Identity Server is a framework
yes.
to build security token services. Like, once you get that, it's not you're not like getting a website. Like, it can be a website. It can be something else. It's just if you think of it as a framework first, that will help a lot.
The way I think about it is basically you are creating an ASP.NET Core application which only has your login page, for example.
Yeah.
And then you just add our middleware to it, and we give you the OpenID Connect support.
Right, and so you might build an application who's only just, like, let me see if I understand. Like, the way I was thinking about it is I'm building a web app whose only job is to identify people and what they can do across any application that I may or may not write in the future.
Well, especially the identity part, right?
Right.
You authenticate the user. Basically, you know, you might have that already, right? But you want to remove it from a specific application into a shared application, mm-hmm. so you just transplant that code, and then our middleware is really just adding the OpenID Connect server support to that.
Got it. Well, this has been awesome, Dominic. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, because one day I'm going to get identity and authentication right. I didn't even get it right there. I'm going to get authentication and authorization right. This guy is going to scratch his head a lot and roll his eyes, but by golly, I'm going to get it right. Thanks for being with us, Dominic.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for watching. We have a special guest coming up next. We'll see you after a short break.
Bye.